I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage. It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Hillside Lawn Service, the experienced lawn care specialists.
105.7 The Fan.
Good evening, Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest before we get to John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson. Tony Jefferson retired from the National Football League at the age of 31. Now coming back, going to be a scout with the Ravens, a scouting fellowship, the Nunn Wooten Scouting Fellowship. He's coming back home, I guess we'll call it that. You know, out of Oklahoma, turned himself into a stellar player in Arizona, was really good for the Ravens, got a big deal, and at 31 years old, moving on to the next phase of his career.
Yeah, and scouting, Bob, I mean, it's a lonely life.
You know that one better than anyone.
Yeah, and for a guy that's got a lot of money, what's hard about that is, I mean, Bob, you're out on the road, you're by yourself, you're staying in hotels, you know, you're driving here, driving to the next school. So it's there's no glamour to it. It's not a glamorous life. And you just got to love football. You got to love to watch film. And you can't mind the travel. And the thing about it is it's hard on your family if you've got a family.
Because you're always gone.
Yes.
And football has now become a 12-month, 365 job. There's no quote-unquote off-season for the most part.
Well, for a scout, once practices start for colleges, you're out and about. And he'll have an area that he would cover, you know, and you've got to go back to that school. Usually you get a couple times a year, you know, you go back to the same school. And you're working through the college football season, then you're coming in and, you know, doing reports and stuff, and you're having meetings, and then you start on, you know, once the draft's over, then you start watching film and grading the guys for the next year.
And as Jeff Zriebeck tweeted out this morning, Jeff from The Athletic, that Jefferson talked about wanting to be a GM when his career was over, and here he is starting. Vinny, you did it, scout to GM, so yeah. It's an attainable goal.
The problem with people nowadays, from what I've seen, Bob, is they want to go from scout to GM in a year, you know, and they don't want to, you know, learn how to become a GM. And maybe that's what he's doing, you know, with this fellowship and stuff. But that's the problem, is guys are not happy. Well, you know, I'm not a GM yet. I mean, you got to be a scout, then you got to be like college scouting director, and then director of player personnel, you know, and then you got to be on a winning team where somebody wants to make you the GM, all those kind of things. So, you know, that was like, because you'd go to some of these places, Bob, and you, these young scouts and stuff, and yeah, I want to be the GM, or I'm like, come on, you know?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's 5880, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest. So congratulations to you, Tony Jefferson, on a nice career, fine career, and best of luck working your way up the ladder in the National Football League, starting and maybe staying with the Ravens. But getting back to on-the-field stuff, John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, slowly ramping him up, are we, for this new offense?
Absolutely. You know, we want to ramp him up, Bo, a little bit. You know, this is his first day was yesterday. Ramp him up in terms of the conditioning. He's been working, but with the conditioning here, the running, the lifting, the throwing, just kind of learning the offense, just ramp him up out there. Then He'll be ready to go. He'll probably do a little bit, you know, more tomorrow, then a little bit more the next day, and we'll work from there.
The beginning of that kind of got me. He's been working butt. You know, I mean, he's not in great shape. I mean, bottom line, he's not in great shape. I mean, Josh Johnson hadn't missed anything. He's doing team and everything else. So, Lamar, we're going to ramp him up. To me, you ramp guys up that can handle, you know, doing a lot of stuff right now. That's why he's being ramped up. He's not in great shape. And, you know, I mean, Bob, he, like we keep saying, what, December 4th was the last time he was probably in great shape.
Yeah, and then he got KO'd in that game against
Denver.
Yeah,
and he's been hurt and,
that was all
and rehabbing and, you know, being an agent and doing all those things. So, working with his restaurants. And so, him being here to learn football is awesome, but him being here to also get his body right is probably just as important.
Now, Lamar himself gets the Todd Monken experience on the field up close and personal for the first time this week. And Lamar was asked, first impressions of the offense are what?
The new offense is smooth. More verbiage than usual. I like it. I'm loving it so far.
And we talked about it yesterday. Explain what more verbiage means, good or bad, for an offense here.
Yeah, and I'm sure with G-Ro, especially teams that run it a lot, you don't have a ton of verbiage. Like, I gave the example yesterday or day before. Like, when I was in college, like, a run play would be, you know, like, Ripper 22. You know, Ripper 22. Ripper 22. Ready, break. You know. Now, passing, and I know the West Coast offense, they're telling everybody what the route is. You know, like, X shape, Z comeback, blah. You know, why this, blah, blah, you know, in the back they have a letter for. That's where all the verbiage comes in the pass game.
Now, with the new Todd Monken offense, it seems as though, it appears as though, we expect that Lamar's going to have more control.
Yep.
During the offensive tenure here. And how you feeling about that one, Lamar?
You know, you can change things when you want to. You know, you see the defense is not looking right to you. See some guy blitzing. You might want your receiver to do something different. Coach giving you the free will to do whatever you want to.
And it goes back to what we also talked about yesterday. I find it hard to believe.
Right.
That, let's see, G-Ro took over in 19. So that's 19, 20, 21. 4 years? Lamar couldn't improvise and adapt in regards to play call or changing the plays?
Nope.
That's crazy to me. In this day and age of National Football League, come on.
Well, in college, Bob, I think the quarterback looked over. You know, the quarterback would look over, like at Georgia, I'm guessing he'd look over and they'd hold up a different card or, you know, what to change. So, yeah, this will be different for Lamar, and it's got to be exciting for him because
he's salivating at this prospect.
No doubt about it. And Bobby he sounds happier, you know, and I heard somebody say he's like smiling and stuff like the old Lamar was before. Before 2 years ago with all the contract stuff where he didn't smile. Because how many times did we talk about it over the last couple of years? Not patting people on the back, not happy, you know.
Sure.
So we may be getting that guy back.
You give me $52 million a year, I'll do nothing but smile. You would never see me without a smile. I could throw 5 interceptions. I'd still be like, oh, yeah, I'm good. News from the desk, video at 81.057 The Fan. New offense means new work. Are you putting it in, Lamar?
Studying, being in the meeting room, staying after. When everybody leaving the building, I'm still here with Coach T, Coach Monk, and going over things.
Coach T Martin is the quarterback coach, and Coach Monken. So, yeah, I mean, that's what he needs to do. You got to catch up. You're behind. You got to catch up. How do you catch up? You know, it's just like studying for a final for most people, you know, that – you're going to cram, you're going to study, you're going to keep grinding it. And that's what he's got to do. So he can be on the field during team.
It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, buy or sell, count our holiday money. Memorial Day weekend is upon us, everyone. Peter Schmuck's going to be joining us, longtime sports writer. Of course, was a columnist, baseball writer for the Baltimore Sun. Now with BaltimoreBaseball.com, talk about the Orioles. Go 5-1 on that road trip through Toronto and through the Bronx. Rangers come to town. They're not going to be a pushover by any stretch of the imagination. Peter's also been down on the farm and talk about this highly regarded farm system, which we'll do later on in the show at 1:30. Kyler McDaniel, he'll be joining us from ESPN.com. Updated top 50 prospect list for this year. Jackson Holliday prominently mentioned. And we'll preview the draft coming up in what, a month and a half? Major League Baseball, for the first time in a long time, the Orioles don't have one of the top five picks. They're actually picking, what, like 19, 20, 20, 21 around there. But who's the top player in the upcoming draft? So we'll talk to Kylie about that. We also have an American League East report. Going to hear more from Lamar. We got Chad Brown joining us, Pro Bowl linebacker, at 1 o'clock. He'll have some NFL lunch. So we got a lot to do here in the final hour and 45 minutes of this Featured Artist Friday. It's Tina Turner. Come on in here.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Penny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Penny and Haney, Featured Artist Friday. Tina Turner, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass. Orioles at home tonight taking on the Rangers. 7:05 first pitch. We'll be down at Pickles. Inside Access starts the fun at 2. And then it's Baltimore Baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, me and Jim Hunter. Starting at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a lovely night. Come down, get a cold brewski. Pickles has great food. Enjoy that. And then hang out with us, getting ready for the start of this big three-game series. But we got a lot to get to, sports-related and money-related, buy or sell.
All right, Bob, the Dow jumps as Wall Street grows hopeful that a debt ceiling deal can be reached. I mean, the senators and Congress, they get things done like at the 12th hour, you know, when they're, everything is against them and, you know, a deal has to get done before they go on vacation, they get deals done. The Dow's up 287. The S&P's up 46. NASDAQ's up 246. So DraftKings is down 13 cents. Under Armour's up 8 cents to 655.
Well, I do want to start here with the Orioles. Félix Bautista, in some ways, not performing the same as he did last year. A lot of walks, but the strikeouts, off the charts this year. 50 so far. They played 50 games this season. He's tied with Grayson Rodriguez for second most on the team. Tyler Wells leads the way with 54. So I got pretty curious here, started going back through Orioles history. 2004, B.J. Ryan. Led the Orioles that season in strikeouts with 122.
I remember him.
Probably says more about the starters that year that a reliever with 122 led the team, but a reliever leading the way nonetheless. That was in 87 innings for B.J. Ryan. Wasn't even an all-star that year, oddly enough. But Bob, buy or sell, Félix Bautista will end up leading Baltimore in punchouts this season.
The entire staff?
He's tied for second right
now. Sell! Soloway. I think Grace Rodriguez is going to end up being that guy. If he stays in the rotation every fifth day, which barring injury, I believe he will. So I'll sell that for old Mountain there. B.J. Ryan, by the way, parlayed his Orioles success into a free agent contract with the Blue Jays, if you remember. He pitched on some really bad teams, too. Oh, boy. The young Nolan years. Like, right. Oh, my God, why is baseball so bad?
Didn't know. Didn't know any better. Let's see here. The Commanders. Ron Rivera says that Chase Young and the team are on the same page when it comes to his fifth-year option being declined. Made it sound like Chase Young is hungry to get back to work here, regain his rookie form. But with that being said, Chase Young yet to show up for OTAs there. Most around the team that have been asked about it, players, coaches, obviously they're downplaying it for now. But Vinny Byers-Cell, with a good start this season, Chase Young could be on the move at the trade deadline.
On the move at the trade deadline. With a good start, I don't see that happening. Because if he has a good start, they might be, you know, playing well and then they'll want to, you know, keep doing things. I'm guessing that he's not showing up, you know, because, all right, you don't have faith in me right now. I'm going to train and do the things that I got to do, and I'm going to show you guys when I get there. That's my guess, and that's, you know, if that's me, that's probably what I'm doing too.
A DMV guy too, because he's in the perfect spot.
Yeah.
I mean, he went to Ohio State, but he's from that area, and I'm guessing he'd like it to work out. And before the knee injury, he was really looking like one of the studs
right
at that
position. And Bob, what is this next year coming up? Second year off of the knee. And his knee was a lot worse than a lot of these guys, you know, Dobbins and some of these other guys.
Well, in the NBA, we've done a pretty good amount of joking around about LeBron entertaining those retirement questions, stealing the spotlight from the Nuggets. That's how you put it, Bob. But
he did.
Some others.
Charles Barkley agreed with me.
Yes.
By the way.
I've heard some other takes on this, not necessarily a differing opinion, but that he was just trying to change the narrative after suffering a sweep, get the attention off of that, talk about me. But is it more strategic than that? There's no question the Lakers have been gutted with some terrible roster decisions in recent years, but buy or sell, Bob, LeBron is using the retirement questions to leverage the Lakers to go all in even further this offseason.
I'm selling that. I think it was a spur of the moment. Mike Harmon said it perfectly, who's based out in La La Land, Mike with Fox Sports Radio, own over 300 affiliates throughout the United States of America, that, you know, he was, you know, we got swept. I made some boneheaded plays down the stretch, so let's deflect what I did poorly in this game and talk about what I might do in the offseason. I did read something somewhere. Can't believe everything you read. That he might be pressuring the Lakers into making a move for Kyrie Irving, though.
He was at the game.
If I'm D'Angelo Russell, I'm like, yeah. Can I go back to Minnesota?
Trade him for peanuts. Yeah. That'll be the real problem. I mean,
and that would be the second time they cunded him.
All right, how about this one? One more here. Austin Ekeler. A lot of contract gripes for him. Settled down, though, as he's gotten $1.75 million added to his contract this year in the form of incentives. Earlier this year, you remember, he requested a trade, will still be set to become a free agent after this year's over. Was sure to note along the way, it was never about the relationship between him and the team. I think he always said from the get-go this was a money thing for him, a value thing, if you will. He's always liked the team, but Vinny, buy or sell, Ekeler re-signing with LA long-term, more realistic than we initially thought.
Sounds like Lamar's kind of deal, you know? I think what Ekeler found out was the same thing Lamar found out. His phone wasn't ringing. That's what I think Ekeler found out. Because with running 30, what is he, 30?
Let's see. I'm pulling him up. He is 28 years old. What year is this? He just turned 28 last week, a couple weeks ago.
28-year-old running backs, you know, don't get big contracts. So at his age right now, he's going to go year to year. And I think him and his agent kind of found that out, that, hey, you know, nobody's going to pay me. the Chargers will.
They're in a he's in a kind of a perfect spot with that offense,
no
too.
No doubt.
I mean, they blamed Lombardi for the playoff loss. I mean, it's the
I'm
offensive
the head coach.
Yeah, it's the offense coordinator's fault that they blew what a 28-0 lead or whatever it was.
Yeah.
To Jacksonville, but either way, Eckler's put up some monster numbers. But to Vinny's point, you know, next offseason he's 29er.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people are breaking a bank for 29er? Your old running backs. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. When we come back, talk about them Birds of Baltimore. The original Birds of Baltimore, the Orioles. They go through Toronto with a sweep. They take 2 out of 3 from New York, even after losing a tough one in the opener. 5-1 road trip. Now the Texas Rangers come to town. We'll talk about the Birds with Peter Schmuck. Through 50 games, 33-17 is the best still yet to come. Then we're going to have an American League East report. Chad Brown's going to be joining us, talk some NFL with him. Going to hear some more Lamar Jackson coming your way in the 1 o'clock hour. And then Kylie McDaniel, his updated top 50 prospect list came out a couple of days ago. ESPN.com, Jackson Holliday, a couple of Orioles, as a matter of fact, are on it. He'll explain. And we'll look at the prospects for the upcoming draft of 23. There's a Maryland Terrapin in that list, we think. And Kyler will tell you who it is.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here. And the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Isn't why.
MLB, NFL, NCAA. Get it all right here. 105.7 The Fan.
Diddy at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan, featured artist Friday, Tina Turner, celebrating her career, the great one that it was. Sadly passed away a couple of days ago, paying tribute. Anything you want to hear from her, send your request, plus for text line, 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Baltimore Baseball Tonight at 6. Me and longtime voice of the Orioles, Jim Hunter, live from Pickles. Getting you ready for this three-game set over the Memorial Day weekend against the first-place Rangers. Oh, by the way, Nolan will be there too, Mr. Tsunami of Swagger, bringing the electricity down on a sunny night at Oriole Park in Camden Yards by way of Pickles. But here to talk about the Orioles through 50 games, 33-17, longtime sports writer, of course, here in Baltimore with the Baltimore Sun, baseball columnist now with BaltimoreBaseball.com, joins us on the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline. It's welcome to the show, I believe for the first time.
Yeah.
Peter Schmuck. Peter, what's happening? Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Same to you guys. What's happening is that we've got quite a team here in Baltimore suddenly, and everyone's rightfully excited about it, and I'm hoping to see it reflected in the stands soon.
Now, 33-17 through 50 games, do you see any parallels this team versus the one back in 12-13 that started to percolate under Buck Showalter? Because there was Weeters and Manny called up. So, I mean, there were some young veteran-y guys that had kind of taken their lumps. Are there any parallels as you see it between that era of Oriole revival and the one we're dealing or experiencing, I should say, now?
Well, sure. Sure. I think the difference is that in 12, it was completely unexpected. Even if Dan Duquette walked in the door and said, you know, our goal is to go to the playoffs and have a winning season, and no one thought, you know, that that was really going to happen. So it was a hugely surprising season. And it was magical in its own way, and it was compared to 1989 and the Why Not season. This is a little different. Yeah, there's parallels. The fact that there are two youth movements, except this one is so vastly superior to that one. That, you know, when you look at this team's not doing it with mirrors. This team has some issues and is some areas where people think, is this certain, you know, is the bullpen going to hold up? Is the starting rotation going to improve or go the other way? You know, those are fair questions, but this is a really good team. And the 12 team was a surprising team.
Now, Buck Showalter was the manager of that team who had a track record of success. Brandon Heights here, and Peter, as you know, took his lumps as a manager. I mean, the back of that baseball card was not looking good until the second half of last year. Now here he is with the second best record in baseball through the first 50 games of the season. How is he different as a manager compared to where he was 4 years ago?
Well, managers only as good as the players, as you know, and that's, you know, that's part of what's going on here. But if, you know, one of the things you're seeing right now is he is pushing almost all the right buttons, and he knows what he's doing. He always knew what he was doing, but he didn't have, you know, you're a different person when you have to accept the fact you're going to lose 110 games. These guys are competitors. Even he, you know, he didn't play at the highest level, but he was an athlete. He was a college star, you know, and he's a terrific coach on some terrific teams. He was ready. But there's a different, you know, environment when you know for several years you're gonna, you know, you're gonna stink, and they certainly did. And I just have to, give the organization credit for not being tempted to say, okay, we're on the edge here. Let's go out and get a name manager now. He is a name manager now, by the way. And you know, we'll see how it goes the rest of the season. But actually, there is pressure on him now that these guys are here and that there are more to come. So this is happening when it's supposed to happen. You know, obviously, we all hope it continues to happen this way all season. I don't think they're going to be 16 games over 500 every 50 games. But, you know, they've stored up some pennies in heaven here. You know, if they go 500 the rest of the way, they're probably going to be in the playoffs.
Peter Schmuck joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Peter knows the baseball landscape in Baltimore as well as anyone. Now, let's talk about some individual guys and Gunnar Henderson getting that batting average over the Mendoza line. The on-base percentage has been solid all season long. What are you seeing different? And it's obviously a positive difference, but different from him offensively as he strides to the plate, it looks like, with a little more confidence right now.
Yeah, it's partly experience. It's partly probably needed time to know they really are all in on him, that he's staying. There was a period in there where I think a lot of people were starting to think, maybe he needs a little more time down there. This kid, you've seen him. You've seen the defensive talent. You haven't seen all of the offensive talent yet, but you see him coming along like a lot of players in the same situation. Nick Markakis stands out. Guys who had to struggle and struggled just to a certain point, and then they start to make that progression. He's a hugely talented kid. Yeah, and the speed for a guy his size, I mean, he really is the real deal. But he's still got to, you know, climb that ladder. And, you know, he's a guy who you got to expect is going to put up big power numbers, and he's going to be able to work at bats. He works in at bat as well as anybody on the team now. That's the really surprising thing about him and Rutschman is that they are, when it comes to working opposing pitchers, they are veterans. And some of the guys on the team that are veterans aren't. When it comes to that. And so it's great to watch that. And, you know, part of this team, the enjoyable part of this team, of course, is they're winning. The other is the intrigue with each individual player. You know, I've been doing baseball for 40 years, so I don't get excited about the lineup card, but I do look at it more closely now than I did, you know, 10 years ago, because these guys are exciting. I can't say what an impact Adam Frazier's had. And I was rolling my eyes at the Adam Frazier's and the Kyle Gibson's in the offseason. But you look at the impact that he's had, the continuity of the lineup, the chemistry of the lineup. It may not show up with big stats. Certainly for him, it's showing up with a big home run total so far. It's amazing that, you know, they again, are pushing all the right buttons right now. And Mike Elias picked a couple of guys, you know, Kyle Gibson, you know, it was to come in and replace Jordan Lyles. He's done that times three. You know, Jordan Lyles was a great influence, but he wasn't a great pitcher. This guy is pitching very, very well.
Hey, Peter, who would you say up to this point, like, the biggest surprise to you? I mean, you kind of mentioned, you know, Frazier and Gibson. You know, who is that guy that you're saying, damn, I did not expect him to be doing what he's doing?
I'm hesitate to say this because it's going to sound stupid, but it's Cedric Mullins. Cedric has been really, really good, you know, 30-30 season. And then he's been you know, not there for a while. And this incarnation of Cedric Mullins is unbelievable. I mean, you expect him when he has guys in runners in scoring position. You know, the average guy gets, you know, he gets a hit one out of four or five times. Right now, he's almost automatic. And when he doesn't get a hit, the guy's up against the fence catching the ball. It's been really good to see as he continues to mature. And he also is doing a better job of making the most of the pitch counts and stuff, even though he's a very aggressive swinger. You know, a couple of guys on the team I've kind of called out a week or two ago for just being way too aggressive on the first pitch, getting themselves out at times, even though they're good players and they're productive. You know, there's still more there in the tank if they could be, even smarter at the plate.
All right, Peter, what are they going to need? You know, come trade deadline, what do you think they're going to need to get over the hump?
Well, I mean, we've seen quite a bit of development in the starting rotation right now, but you can't mm-hmm. take for granted that they could go all the way and really go deep in the playoffs without another top of the rotation type starter. So I think that'll be an emphasis. Of course, they're going to hope that by August that John Means is that guy. But they're going to have a trade deadline, and they have a ton of surplus in the minor leagues. There's probably a pitcher out there they can get, that will solidify the starting rotation. They probably also need a little bullpen depth. We'll see how everything works out, you know, with Michael Gibbons and when Dylan Tate comes back. I mean, Dylan Tate has really struggled during his rehab, and that's a scary proposition. Because as you guys have seen, when the starter goes seven innings, they're pretty much automatic, except on those rare occasions, not so rare occasions, when Bautista decides that you can't hang a 102 mile an hour fastball, so I'll hang a split finger, like he did to Aaron Judge.
On a T, it was.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
On a tee was that splitter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, he has a great splitter, but, I think the mountain is wonderful. And it's great to have that kind of power in the late innings. And it's obviously, Cano has been a revelation, and he may get more save opportunities. But as good as Felix Bautista has been, he has 11 saves and 4 blown saves. That's not that great a ratio. You know, I mean, the great save guys go 30-2. So I think it's more a case of him just trusting his 102 mile an hour fastball, because, like I said, it's one of my little sayings and that you can't hang a 102 mile an hour fastball. So use it. And it's, you know, when and they also could realize, like in a situation last night, they walked, Cano actually had his first walk, and that was with Judge. That you don't have to give Judge any respect when you're up by 3 runs and he's leading off an inning. You can throw him a fastball. If he hits a home run or walks, it's the same thing. And so that bugs me, and I've seen that the last few nights, giving guys a little too much respect and walking guys they probably shouldn't.
Peter Schmuck, tell everybody what you're doing at BaltimoreBaseball.com, the great website that it is.
Well, it is a great website, and working with Rich Dubroff over there. I'm not doing that much. I have been retired for, 2-3 years. He lets me show up when I want to and write when I want to. I'm a little constrained because I have a little family health issue going on here that I have to attend to in the family. So I don't have as much time to be at the ballpark, but I do get out there once or twice, a homestand, and I'll be out there this weekend.
Peter, appreciate the time. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
hopefully.
Peter.
Great talking to you guys. I listen all the time.
Thank you. Peter Schmuck, everybody. BaltimoreBaseball.com. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Got NFL lunch coming up top of the hour. Chad Brown, former Pro Bowler for the Pittsburgh Steelers, is going to be joining us. Talk about the NFL landscape here, heading into OTAs, eventually mandatory minicamp, and then we'll look ahead to what training camp's going to look like. He's out there in Denver. Broncos, one of the big disappointments of 2022. Could they be one of the sleeper teams of 2023? Going to hear more from Lamar Jackson around 1:15. Kyler McDaniel, ESPN.com. He'll be joining us. Talk about the top 50 prospects at Major League Baseball. Jackson Holliday's mentioned, and who are the prospects for the 2023 Major League Baseball draft? Orioles have the 17th pick, by the way.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East.
Vinny and Haney.
American League East report here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Tina Turner celebrating her, paying tribute, passing away sadly a couple of days ago, another hour to go. Whatever you want to hear, we'll play it for you. 410-583-1057. But yesterday, outside of the Orioles taking two out of three, from the Yankees, winning 3-1, the finale in the Bronx. Tampa beat Toronto 6-3. Zach Eflin improved to 7-1 on the year. After the game, the Blue Jays decided it was team meeting time. What does that mean? Because remember, they had a terrible start last year. Manager got fired. John Schneider took over. They wound up making the playoffs, went quietly, but made the playoffs nonetheless. Vinny, when it's time for team meetings, what does it mean? And is team meetings, is that unique? Nah, I think they've done it in NBA and hockey, and you know, I guess NFL too.
Usually when things are going bad, you know, the leaders will get up there and talk about, we all need to get on the same, whether guys are bitching or whatever, you know, hey, we need to shut up, you know, just focus on baseball, get everybody like zeroed in, because all the players know what the problems are, probably more so than the manager. So whoever the leaders are, say, hey, this crap's got to stop. You know, whoever's bitching, complaining, doing whatever, coming late, doing those kind of things. We all got to be, you know, about winning baseball games.
Because the guys are there.
Right.
I don't think there's a major injury they're dealing with. Alec Manoah has been terrible, who was great last year. Gausman's holding up his end of the bargain. Yeah. We saw that Sunday against the Orioles. But, you know, Vladdy, I mean, Bichette's always among the leaders in hits. I think he's led the American League in hits last couple of years. But they just cannot get it done on the field. They've lost 9 of 11. So that's a them thing. As the Orioles sweep them, by the way, they have the Angels come, or excuse me, they are at the Twins. Tampa's got the Angels coming in this weekend. The Padres, look, you talk about disappointing in Toronto. The Padres right now, hey, Rugi saved them a couple of games ago. Odor hit a 3-run bomb to steal one from the Nats. But here they are, they're 23-27, the Padres, and they go to Yankee Stadium. Yeah. And you don't think the Yankees are pissed off about what happened to them versus the Orioles? So it's the Angels at Tampa, and we saw the Angels here a couple of weeks ago, and they've won 4 in a row. They're 7-3 in their last 10, so no easy road for the Rays, even though they're great at the trot. We'll get to that in a second. Padres at the Yankees, rematch of the 1998 World Series, which the Yankees won in 4. By the way, the manager of that team, Bruce Bochy.
Oh.
Padres, and we'll talk about him in a second. Blue Jays at the Twinkies, and the Red Sox, who are really struggling, they're at Arizona. Standings in the American League East are as follows. Tampa 37-15, 24-5 at home. That's incredible. 24-5 at home, run differential, plus 112. They've won 2 in a row, 6-4 last 10. Orioles 33-17 through 50 games, 3 back, 15-8 here at home, where they'll be for the next few games, plus 45. They won 2 in a row, 7-10. Yankees 30-22, 7 out. They are, what, plus 27. They're 7-3 last 10. They've lost 2 straight, as we know, because they've lost to the Orioles. Red Sox 26-24. They're 10 back. They've lost 4 straight, 6-10. And we just talked about Toronto 26-25, 10.5 out. They've lost 2 in a row, 8-10, 9-11. They're really scuffling there north of the border. Twins, by the way, lead the Central by 2 over the Tigers. Rangers, who are in town, they're 3 up on the Astros in the West. Braves, They're 5.5 up on the Mets in the NL East. Brujas, 1.5 up on the Pirates in the Central. And the Dodgers, 1.5 up on the Diamondbacks out in the NL West. Orioles 33-17, taking on the Yankees, or the Rangers tonight. Rangers 31-18. Grayson Rodriguez 2-1 with a 6.21. Taking on John Gray 4-1 with a 3.02. Bruce Bochy is a future Hall of Fame manager. Won 3 World Championships with the Giants. Mm-hmm. Took the Padres to the World Series. And if you're old enough to remember Peter Schmuck, if you're still listening, in the 1980 NLCS, he was a catcher for the Astros, and Pete Rose, Ray Fossey'd him at the plate.
Oh.
Bochy was trying to block the plate, and Pete Rose took him out. And Bruce Bochy's a big dude, but Pete Rose, he could run through walls. Old Charlie Hustle. So Bruce Bochy was a player. Wasn't Johnny Bench, but had a career. But as a manager, he's a guy that's going to wind up in Cooperstown when it's all said and done. Quick draw. We have time for a call. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Florida and bring in Tom. Tom, you're on the fan with Vinny and Haney.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right, Tom.
Good. Hey, I was listening to Peter, and he was saying you guys were talking about some guys that have had an impact, a pitcher. I never heard him mention a name, Wells. I think Wells has been pretty damn good. You know, I mean, am I wrong in thinking that?
No, you're not wrong at all. Thanks for the call. He had the lowest whip in baseball as a starting pitcher until the other night. His issue has been he gives up a lot of home runs, Tyler Wells. But has he been an impact guy? Absolutely. And Nolan, we talked about it during the break. It's near Cano. He did mention him giving up his first walk of the season last night. But Cano has been a godsend at the back end of the bullpen with Givens out and Tate out for most of the year so far.
Guess it's just too obvious of an answer. That's what we're all thinking, right? When you think, you know, biggest surprise this year, it's got to be Cano. The guy had a ERA that was almost infinity last year, it seemed. And now people are calling him the best reliever in baseball. I saw ESPN recently did a national write-up on him. So the exposure's getting out there.
But Cedric Mullins was an interesting pull.
Oh, that one kind of shocked me a little bit. Bob, how much pressure do you think was on him coming into the season because of the way he hit lefties last year?
I think there was a lot of pressure on him because of the outfielders coming up through the minor league system. Is there a true center field replacement for him, per se? I guess these guys are all considered to be more corner outfielders, even though Kowser has been playing some center field. But has he, whatever pressure was on him, did he respond or what? By the way, Cedric Mullins missed last night's game with a personal matter. Brandon Hyde said before the game, it's expected only to be a one-game absence, and Brandon Hyde will meet with the media later on this afternoon at 4 o'clock. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Will come back. Chad Brown's joining us. Going to have some NFL lunch. We're going to hear from Lamar Jackson, and then Kyler McDaniel's going to be joining us from ESPN.com. Top 50 prospects in baseball. How many Orioles are in that thing, and who are the top prospects for the 2023 Major League Baseball Draft?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.